Set podcast, where we share things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 54. This week it's Terry's turn to share something with us. What have you got for us today, Terry?
Daisy, I wanted to talk about an episode of Mind Valley podcast with Vishen Lakhiani. And this episode is with a guy that both you and I have listened to before, Srikumar Rao. He is a former business school professor. And so he does a lot of trainings and speaking about entrepreneurship and business models and things. Now, not that I am in an entrepreneurial role or that I know how many of our listeners are, but I like these principles that he talks about because I think they're just really good life principles for most of us. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the little gems that he shares. The episode itself was a little bit of a hodgepodge, just a great discussion between these two. And then it actually was a live call where they had listeners who then could ask questions. So I just want to share the takeaways that I got from it. So it's not going to be just a kind of cohesive flow. So I hope it comes out okay for everyone. One of the things that I really loved that he talked about is he said that we live in a real world, not the real world. That we all create our reality. And so we're all living in a reality, but not the reality. And so, you know, when people say, you know, just get into reality, you're not in reality, or get in the real world, there is no such thing. We are all creating our own world. I just like that thought because it ties in with so much else about kind of spirituality and manifestation. Srikumar gives an example of an experience that many of us may be used to. In India, it's called ragging. In fraternities here, it's called hazing. But, you know, it's challenging someone, harassing them to kind of get them into membership, or, you know, maybe the freshman year, they get harassed by the seniors or whatnot, hazed. And in India, it's called ragging. And he said, you know, his freshman year, his first year, he was ragged on completely. He just got through it because he knew the next couple of years he was going to be able to do that. But his senior year, he was watching and he saw this group of guys who were ragging on this other student who something wasn't quite right. He was just kind of socially challenged and things. My guess is from the way he described him, he might have been a bit autistic or maybe Asperger's. And these other guys were picking on him about this and specific to his condition. And Srikumar got so upset watching this, and he went and intervened and told them to stop. And then for the next 20 years, Srikumar always looked back on this time of, that was a time that he did a really good deed. He stood up for what was right. He intervened. He protected that guy. About 20 years later, they run into each other and they're talking a little bit. And the other man says to him, Srikumar, I've always wondered, why did you ruin that day? Why did you interrupt my great interaction with them? I was having such a good time with them, and you ended it so rudely.
Wow.
So he was seeing that same experience as, you know, Srikumar did something he shouldn't have done. He was being rude. He ruined the day. Whereas Srikumar was seeing it as, I did the right thing. I was just, and I helped protect someone. So very clearly an example of, there's not a reality of that day. Each person created their own reality of it. And so he talked about entrepreneurs. He said that they don't confront the world, the real world. They create the world. And so if you think about this as a life principle for all of us, we are creating our experiences. We are creating our world. One of the things he said about this is the idea, if you have a belief that there is one reality or a reality, that means you just have to accept things the way they are. There's no changing it. Just get over it and learn to cope with it. But if you really look at it, I'm creating my reality. I'm creating my world. Then you have ownership of it. You can change your reality. You can think about, you can approach something differently and create a different reality rather than just accepting the one reality that supposedly would exist.
Yeah, I can see that really working for that feeling of if you feel like you don't fit in, because you're approaching it from that mentality that you've got to fit into the world, the reality. Whereas if you're creating your own, you're automatically going to fit in.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Then he talked a little bit about, and again, knowing that he's talking primarily about kind of entrepreneurs, business people, but to think about the idea that you are not the role that you play, but your work really is to be a channel that the universe works through. And so sometimes when people think, well, what should I do? How should I make money? What should I do in my life? What business should I run? What should I sell? Or whatever that kind of finding your purpose. Again, it's not find your role. It's let yourself be an instrument that the universe works through to find what it needs and to express through. And this took me back to the book by Elizabeth Gilbert called Big Magic. And I'm not going to remember the details. So people who listen, if they've listened to that book or read that book, they'll know what I'm talking about. But there was an author and she had an idea for a book and she wrote part of it and she never finished it. And so she let it go. Then a couple years later, she was talking to another author and she said, well, I'm working on a new book. And as she described it, it was the exact same plot as what the...
Oh, I've heard her talking about
that. Yeah, as what the initial author had been writing. Mm. And so it kind of goes to this idea, the universe had something to express, an idea that needed to be created and shared.
Mm.
It gave it to the first author, but it fizzled out.
She let it go.
She let it go.
Went on to somebody else.
And it went on to someone else. And so this idea of letting yourself be the instrument, be the channel for the universe, and you will find your purpose that way, rather than fighting so hard to make up what is my purpose. And I just really liked that idea. And like I said, it took me back to that thing that I remembered from that book that I really liked then. Talks about people are going to be successful and more contented in life by learning to think differently. It's a big theme with the author. And he said, one of the challenges, though, is when we think of thinking differently, most of us get kind of stuck in it because we just try to think differently, but we don't know how to think differently. We know how to think the way we think. So he said, rather than that, it's to examine the models you hold, the way you look at how things work, the models and beliefs that you hold. And by changing these, you're then changing how you think. I don't know that this was the example he gave for this in this interview, but he talked about this later when answering a question from one of the guests. He told a story about someone who had a printing business and the goal is when people are trying to sell something, it's like, how do you sell things? What he would do instead of giving away free cards and trying to get their business is he would give them quality cards and really try to attract them, show them what he can do, show them what he can offer. So again, just changing the model rather than, oh, the model is you give them 100 free black and white cheap cards and hope they want something different or will come work with you. He did it differently. Even an example he talked about with a car dealership. And this is about how do you get people to buy things. And he talked about taking it out of the way of thinking of how can I sell things to these people? How can I get people to buy what I'm trying to do versus what service can I be? How can I help people? And so when people come in, and you might have experienced this, you go to a car dealership, the first thing they come up to you and they say, how can I help you? Mm. And most people quickly say, oh, I'm just looking. Like, you quickly defend and try and get them away. This happens to me in furniture stores too. I'm just looking. And so he said, you know, even just changing the approach and saying, would you like me to show you anything, or are you here to look today? Just changing up the approach is a way to start thinking of that interaction differently and setting up a different model. So this is a way that he and Vishen got kind of geeking out on this topic, but I think I can capture part of it. He talked about the idea that much of our kind of turbulence or discontent is based on wanting something or wanting something to happen. We seek to get what we want, and this causes us a lot of tension because we don't have it already or it's not happening for us. So, you know, we get caught up in that, how do I make it happen? And we feel that tension. So one of the things he talked about is, instead, the goal is to see if we really want it or if we can outgrow our need for it. And again, they talked about this for a while, and it was a really interesting conversation. I guess that idea that you can change your experience by even recognizing you don't need that thing or to have that experience, that overcoming that need is actually what you needed from it. And that's a way that we can begin to think differently. In this conversation around this topic, he and Vishen also talked a lot about the idea of kind of coming to a point of surrender rather than pushing to make things happen. Again, to go back into that idea of letting the universe work through you. And this is an example, outgrowing the need for something, enjoying the ride as the universe plays it out rather than you trying to force it and make whatever it is happen. When we have an urge to make something happen, rather than fighting to make it happen, maybe we just need to acknowledge the urge is the universe selecting to work through us and let it make it happen. Mm. Oftentimes what people struggle with is focusing on the how of reaching a goal. How will I make this happen? And again, accepting that the urge to take a step is even the most important piece. And then a guest asked a question about this of, you know, when you have big goals, how can you get through getting through the steps? And both Sri Kumar and Vishen talked about just taking one step at a time, just getting the first step started. But most important is to learn to grow through the experience and enjoy the growth. Vishen quoted from a book, baby steps show the universe intent. They're showing the universe that you are taking the action. And then Sri Kumar came back with a quote, a biblical quote, and he said, this used to always frustrate him when he first heard this, because it said, to him that hath, more will be given. And he thought, well, this doesn't make any sense. The person who already has enough shouldn't need any more. But what it really shows is that when you are grounded and have what you need and are acknowledging what you have, you attract more. Mm. So this goes back to the law of attraction, that taking small steps, making things just kind of happen naturally and allowing the universe to, again, work through you, you will build that attraction.
That makes me think of, I think it was James Clear and Atomic Habits, where he talked about the small steps and every step being a vote for yourself. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that sort of analogy of the sort of voting system? But all those little steps, however small they were, was a vote for yourself and a vote for your future. It just really reminded me of that.
And brings that momentum and that attraction. Mm. Absolutely. They moved into talking then a little bit more about business and what we do. But again, I think that all of us can use this to think about many areas of our lives, our work, our relationships, schooling, whatever we're working on. He was talking about the fact that what he sees as a downside of business schools is that they don't teach consciousness. And Vishen at one point had questioned that. He said, yeah, they do teach it. And he said, no, you're talking about ethics. I'm talking about consciousness. And he said, the most important thing to reflect on about an experience is, did you grow? And when we make our personal growth our number one goal versus the outcome of whatever it is, the relationship, the job, the task, whatever, that this is where we will be more content and will never be overwhelmed or stressed again. So I had to kind of sit with that one a little bit to just think about that. When you can really just look at whatever the experience is, instead of if I'm looking at the results of it, but instead, did I grow from it? Mm-hmm. That then we won't have to get so stressed or upset by things not going a particular way. And Vishen then talked about, as an entrepreneur, you know, when your business loses all of its money, if you're focused on just how much money you make or how successful the business is, that feels devastating. But if you can focus on, did I grow? Yeah, tremendously. And then he can think of all of the ways he grew through all of those steps. So I just like that overall thought process for all of us as we think about focusing on specific goals and outcomes versus thinking about personal growth and making our personal growth our number one priority.
Yeah, because it's a really good way to reframe any experience, isn't mm-hmm. it? Particularly those that your immediate response is to see them as a negative experience. Mm-hmm. But if you can put that aside for a minute, look back on it again through the eyes of, what did I learn from this? Mm-hmm. How can I grow from that experience? Because you're always going to find something.
Right. And it takes the sting out of it. And he said this, he said, our only task is working on ourselves overall, really in life. He said, everything we do, it's an ongoing process of working on ourselves. We're always working on exploring our real nature. And that's not about the outcomes of what happens in this situation or how well does this business do or how much money do we make. But if we can continue focusing on the task of working on ourselves, that's always our primary focus or our primary purpose. And going back with other things he said, and I think he mentions there, he doesn't mean that he believes we should be self-focused and only focused on ourselves. Mm. But my personal growth may come through, what am I doing right now that is improving the lives of others in some way? So it's not a selfish me focus.
Yeah, it's putting your personal growth first, in the sense of, if you grow, if you improve, more the better for helping other people.
Absolutely. A guest asked a question about, basically, how do you do things, take risks and things without fearing other people's reactions? And he said, this is an example where, unfortunately, we are so me-centered that we fear, how are other people interpreting me? What are they seeing in me? What are they watching me do? And thinking so much about what they think of us. And he talked about the need to stop living for others and to stop focusing again on what they might be thinking. And he used the example, he's as a professor. English is not his first language, so he has some mispronunciations and some grammar issues here and there. And he used to get very nervous when he would go in front of a large audience. To help himself get over that, he would focus on, what do I have to offer them? What do they need from me? I'm giving them something today. So what they think of me isn't what's important. Let me focus on what I'm giving, what purpose I'm serving with them. And then he said something about, he used the reference to, you think they're watching the movie of you, but they're not. they're watching the movie of themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't care really that much about you. They're paying more attention to themselves. And I used to always say this to clients. Some of us with social anxiety, we really fear, how does someone see me if I'm walking in the store, if I don't look right? And the reality is everyone is so focused on themselves, they really aren't focused on you in the situation. So I think that's a good reminder for all of us. And then the last part that they talked about is a story that I've heard. I think I've heard him describe it before, but I think I've heard it in other references as well. But I like this one. So Vishen asks about the struggle that people can't seem to find the key to happiness. Srikumar kind of laughed and he said, that's simple. It's because you're looking for the key to happiness in all the wrong places. And then uses this example. Gentleman was outside late at night, standing under a street lamp, poking around on the ground. And a jogger came by and noticed, so turned back around and said, hey, you look like you're, you know, doing something here. Can I help you? And the guy said, yeah, I lost my key. Can you help me find it? And so the jogger said, sure, let me look. So they're looking. And the jogger said, you know, I've looked all over here. I don't see it. Where did you lose it? And the guy says, oh, I lost it over there. And the jogger said, well, why are we looking here then? He said, well, because it's dark over there. And I thought it would be easier to look where the lamp is. And so the idea of we're seeking our happiness, we're seeking our contentment in the wrong places. And he said, you know, we're looking for fulfillment outside of ourselves. Better relationship, bigger car, different job, promotion, all of these things. We're looking for that from external things. And his quote on this was, you can never solve an internal problem with external action. And I just really liked that quote. And again, not just about entrepreneurship, but, you know, I work with people on weight loss and improving their health. And oftentimes we seek these outside ways to achieve something that really is an internal struggle. You know, why does someone want a promotion? Might be because then they'll feel good enough about themselves. They'll feel that they're worthy or that they're enough or whatever it is. So I just kept kind of thinking of that quote, you can never solve an internal problem with an external action.
That reminds me of what you said earlier, takes you back to thinking about what you think you need. Mm-hmm. And actually, can you just outgrow that need? Mm-hmm. You know, so like when you just said with that promotion, is that really what's going to make you happy? Is that really what you need? Or actually, is it something else? Can you outgrow that need? And in doing so, figure out what it is that's really going to make you happy.
Absolutely. Vishen mentioned this at some point, but you know, Srikumar brings in a lot of different philosophies in his models and ways of thinking. And one is from the Stoics. And the little bit I read on Stoicism, one thing they believe is maybe refraining from some pleasures or achievements or things to not always be seeking something else. A book I was recently reading about this talked about, the author was saying, why am I a guy who drives a 9-year-old vehicle instead of a 15-year-old vehicle? I just, you know, it's brand new to me, but it's 9 years old still. Mm. Rather than going for, I need a new car. No, I need a car that's good and works. And then going deeper, what is that wanting a new car about for me? And as you said, going back to this conversation, outgrowing that want. Because it would be an external way to try to achieve something that's an internal job.
Mm. And then finding satisfaction, finding fulfillment, finding happiness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think we've all known people like that who always want something else. Mm-hmm. And think they're going to be happy when they have that next thing and they get that next thing. And all of a sudden, that's not what makes them happy. It's the next thing mm-hmm. that will make them happy. And it's endless, endless, endless. And until they can outgrow that need, mm-hmm. never going to be happy.
Absolutely. You just explained that better than I did, and I listened to the discussion. But yes, exactly, Daisy. That is exactly the point. So like I said, their conversation was specific to entrepreneurship, but I just think there's gems in there for all of us to think about, focusing on our development. How are we contributing to others? How are we serving others? Are we allowing the universe to work through us versus trying to force something, you know, letting ourselves be that conduit?
Yeah, and I really like the part that you started with about a real world, not the real world, and that we create our own world, reality, and experiences.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is going back to the whole law of attraction. I used to shudder a little bit when I heard that because it felt like it would be easy to blame then. If my life isn't where I want it to be, what did I do wrong? Why did I choose this? Why did I bring this upon myself? But I think the more important part is understanding I am not stuck in this world, in this one reality. I can create my reality. And again, I hope for people that's empowering. I get to interpret this differently. I get to approach it differently, whatever that looks like in the situation. But I am not stuck in the one world as, you know, one reality.
Well, and again, reframing experiences in this growth and learning mindset, because you can always take something positive. Mm-hmm. Even from, you know, the most horrendous experience, you can always learn something from it, which if you're talking about growth is then positive, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just saying, I like that because sometimes I think people say, well, look for the positive in the situation. It's very hard in many situations to see something positive. But if your goal is personal growth, even the most difficult situations help us with growth. Help us develop, help us strengthen ourselves.
Yeah, so it becomes a positive, even if it doesn't feel positive in the moment, because you can learn something.
So I hope that in today's episode, folks can just maybe be inspired by some of these thoughts and just approach shifting some of their models and how they think and find some good ways to fit this into their lives, even if they're not looking for an entrepreneurial type of endeavor, but really just a way to, I guess, feel better overall.
Yeah, I think you're right. There are good tips to be taken from the entrepreneurial world, and Visions podcasts and other podcasts like it. You might think it doesn't feel like it's going to be directly relevant, but there are always some little gems in there. I enjoy listening to them very much.
Absolutely, Daisy. And one of the things I love about this one, as with many of Vision's podcasts, they are usually just two really grounded, positive people. And it's really fun to listen to the interaction. And I always leave them feeling a little better. So I hope that carries through in what people are taking from this today.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you have a very lovely week, and you at home too.
Bye, everybody.